It's the True Faith Podcast. Newcastle have just been defeated by a sucker punch last minute goal at home to Wolves. I'm in the car. It's me, Si Campbell, with Ben Wade and Mark Greenstreet Cowley. Hello, lads.
Hello.
This podcast is brought to you thanks to both our patrons and Fansbet. Links in the description as to what both those things are. Wouldn't be possible to put out the content we do without the help of both of those things. Lads, I'm absolutely gutted, and you know, in a season where there's been a lot of disappointment, that one's felt particularly brutal. Ben, did we deserve anything from that game?
100%. We were the better team. I think we've, as you said, it was a sucker punch that connected at the end, but that was literally all they offered second half. They didn't really have anything that, and considering we were down to 10 men for a lot of that second half, we still created probably the better chances, and looks like we should have had a penalty and possibly a red card to them. Mike Dean bottled it.
I mean, he was dishing out plenty of yellow cards, but he couldn't find the all important red.
Exactly. But now I think we shouldn't be too disheartened. I mean, I know it's a gutter, but we've played well there, especially against a team that is supposed to be the next best thing and the greatest team to ever be promoted and all that shite that come with. We were the better team there, and I think we showed that there's another team that we're better than in this division. Okay, we've not got what we deserved today, but I think it should give us confidence that we're capable of getting the results that we need.
I mean, it was a game where you could hoy out quite a few cliches in terms of game of two halves, especially in our first half performance. Cowley, defensively, we were a little bit all over the place. Would you agree, first half? But when we're on the front foot, we were very good.
Yeah, I agree. I thought, in terms of, I missed the first 10 minutes, so I can't comment on that, unfortunately. But I thought we started quite poorly from when I came on the ground. But I think one of the things the first goal was really poor. I mean, both goals we'll go into more detail. But first goal, I think we at the back we missed in terms of Shaw, the way he can obviously come out and obviously pass the ball and come out in defence. We didn't have that today in the first goal. I think it did, came from, I don't know who was on the ball, but it was a Fernandez took too long, and they gave the ball away, and then it came down the right flank and the ball in the box, and he's got far too much space. So I think Fernandez, although he's been brilliant this season and arguably our best player this season, he had a really poor half. I thought Lascelles as well was poor. Defensively we were poor in that the whole game really, but first half, and comparison to what we played at Everton, we were really good, and we were talking about on the pod how good defensively we were, and they couldn't break us down at all, Everton. But today we're just a bit all over the place. But going forward, we were good once when we go down 1-0, we kind of feared that in terms of this season where we haven't got back, but we responded really well after they scored, and everything came through Rondon was superb today. And attacking, especially in the first half, we were good. Just, I guess, a bit of quality needed, but we were good going forward.
Yeah, 100%. I'll come back to Lascelles. I think it's a weird one because he's been kept out of the team by some excellent performances from the other lads. He's recently come back in, and I don't want to be too critical of him. But I thought today he let us down for both goals, and I don't think he was directly responsible necessarily for either. I mean, the second one, probably, but you know, someone's got to go to him, not just Lascelles, but he's the captain, he's in the middle of the defence, he needs to be organising that better. The first goal, yes, it was Fernandez who kind of scuffed his clearance and it went straight to one of their players. That had happened quite a few times already from all of our defenders, and when there's three at the back, that shouldn't be happening. There should always be a similar option, we should be able to pass it out, but they were pressing us high and we were just panicking. As you said, we were missing Shaw or Lejeune, dare I say it. I can't wait to have one of them back on the team, because it really does make a difference having a centre-half, at least one of them, who's comfortable on the ball, who's doing that kind of slowing the game down and making sure we clear the ball properly, or dare I say, play it out. But yeah, so for that first goal, after we've given the ball away, there's still plenty of time to get organised and make sure we're set up for the cross that comes in. And somehow their lads had the chance to bring it down on his chest and smash it past Dubravka. It's caught between Lascelles and Yedlin. Yedlin's point and Lascelles is kind of unaware. So someone's just got to pick that up, and as the captain, Lascelles takes the fault for me, because it's his defence to organise. And the same could be said for the winner. I mean, it's unlucky. I don't want to really get at the overall performance of the team. I thought we played really well, grafted to the end, especially with 10 men. But again, like, Newcastle had bodies back for that goal, and Lascelles has let I don't know who it was for Wolves, but
Jota.
He's ran about 30 yards unopposed, and it's not like we did have 10 men, so there was a bit of, he's always got to stick to somebody, but we had the bodies back on that occasion, and someone could have gone, someone should have just taken the yellow card. It was the last minute of the game, just wipe the fucker out. But that one's gone. So let's talk about the positives. You did say that after the kind of first goal, we reacted very well. We got ourselves back in the game and got ourselves in a position where we deserved something. Yedlin's had a bit of a nightmare minute where he's got sent off, but even with 10 men, I thought we were in control of the game, but for a few counter-attacks from Wolves, who weren't as good as everyone says they are, I thought we played really well. Rondon was superb, I think was the word he used, or all of his touches were superb. He was just excellent. He was the absolute, again, I don't want to bring up Mitrovic, but he's the centre-forward we've been crying out for several years, the strong hold-up player who, in games like that where he's not going to get that many chances, he did all the fucking hard work and basically got us back in the game.
I mean, he's free kick, he hit the bar.
Yeah, he smashed the free kick.
He's put the ball in for Perez for the...
The first goal was all his. Perez got the header, obviously, but he smashed the bar from the free kick and then somehow got onto the ball on the wing and put a cross in from the same free kick. His desire was there. Like, there was a couple of times, especially in the second half when we had 10 men, when he was trying to hold up the ball, he got dispossessed and then he was chasing their players back into our box. You know, that commitment was outrageous, and people were gutted to see him go off, and you know, I was as well. I felt really sorry for Hosslu, because that was just an act he was never going to be able to follow, and he didn't manage to hold up the ball once, and he just had a bit of a mare when he came on. But Rondon had literally spent himself over the first 80 minutes. And you know what, I want to bring Atsu into this as well, because I thought Atsu had his best game in a long time for us. End product still lacking from him, but his graft for a player who's not had much game time this season and match fitness, I thought Atsu played really well in terms of, again, when we had 10 men, just giving us that outlet, giving us a bit of pace on the wing. He was having a link up with Richie on the left, and there was some loose passes at times, but between them, they still got a couple of dangerous balls in the box.
Won a lot of free kicks as well, which was invaluable for sort of recovering and getting certain, especially when you're down at 10 men. That was really key to allow us to sort of reorganise and maintain that defensive structure, which was really important, which didn't really get tested, to be honest. So yeah, I think completely second that. I think that's two games now I've seen Atsu, who I don't need to share my opinions of him or in the past, but he's starting to regain my faith. With as you said, he's got some good attributes, but I think he's, in the past, his work rate's been sort of left with much to be desired, and I think he's starting to add that to his game. And yes, he's not a world beater, so I think that's why he's always been frustrating, is that if he doesn't work hard, then it's you're not really getting a lot out of him. But he's starting to work, and that's really, really key, and especially in that play, in the role he was playing in that sort of three-man midfield. He has to do a lot of running, and especially when we went down to 10 men, he did a lot of that. It was really good. So I think a lot of positives to be taken. His performance was getting better. I thought Key had a good game today as well. Sort of moving the ball and keeping everything going.
With Fatu as well, I guess it's not his way he's played today. It's not his natural position. He hadn't really, it's a new position for him, really. He has normally played either left or the right wing, really. He was more on the left today, but he wasn't like full left wing, to be honest, today. So his new position for him, I think, like I say, touch on what Ben, he did play really well. He was impressive on when we went on Everton away. I think the work rate, I think one thing we can be sure the last couple of months, he's better at starting the games and has been making an impact at the sub, because it has been frustrating watching him come on. He just doesn't look interested. But today, I think he's taking on players, he's getting involved a lot, but I guess it's just final product, what you need to improve on, really.
I think that position that he's playing as well, it's allowing him to get into the game. I think you're spot on. When he's brought on as a sub, when you're expected to make an impact, I don't think he's the type of player that has the awareness to initially sort of come straight on and understand where what he needs to do. So I think it's one of those, like, he needs to basically carry it, start games and build his way into them. And I think you're definitely seeing some improvements from him, because he knows what his role is, having been on the pitch from the beginning. And I guess he can sort of find where he needs to be. I mean, he's got a lot of attributes that we lack from other players. I mean, he's really adept at carrying on the ball, dribbling. He's got good feet, as you said. He's like his end product still to be improved on, but he's got a lot of qualities that are useful to the team. So I think it's useful to have a player like that when he's on form and putting the effort in, because it gives us something different that some of the other players don't give you. So yeah, that was key when we're down to 10 men, that we had that outlet.
Well, it was interesting. You make a very good point, Carly. Unnatural position. He was basically playing on the left of a midfield three. We'll talk about the formation, because it's not what anyone would have predicted pre-match. I think me and Mickey on the match day said we don't really want to see five at the back at home to Wolves. They were there to be got at. Cardiff can beat them. We could have had a go, but I think that tactically we were excellent again today. And the three centre halves first half were very good. I mean, defensively, other than when we have the ball, we're still doing all the right things. We were lacking that kind of calm head to bring the ball out, but we're still positionally brilliant. I thought the wing backs were really good, and Richie had a decent game on the left again. Yedlin was playing really well until he got sent off, but yeah, that left Atsu in a kind of one of a midfield three with Key and Diame, and I thought it was just working. It meant they were all putting different levels of graft in all over the pitch, and Atsu was getting from left to right. And to be fair to them, again, I, like you, Ben, I've been probably one of the most critical of him over the last couple of years, because you just want to see better players for Newcastle, but you couldn't question his heart, and that's what matters at the minute for us. As long as these players give their all, we will never complain about it. So he was excellent. I mean, we'll talk about the rest of that midfield, where Key and Diame. Key, again, pretty impeccable display from him. He's been a revelation for a player that we just thought, oh, we've bought a squad player for free, he's not going to play much. He's actually turned our season around in terms of how we're playing. It's that calm, put your foot on the ball, look around, find the right pass that we haven't been doing all season. It was the opposite of what the defence was doing in the first half hour, of just hot potato. The ball was getting hammered everywhere. You need players like Key to put the foot on it, because we've got pace, we've got skill, we've got outlets, but we need to find them properly with good passes and not panic. So yeah, I thought Key was excellent. Diame, he's just I don't know what the word is. He's just all over the pitch. The yards he covers has not really dropped this season. I wouldn't say he's been as at the dizzy heights he was last season, where he was dominating the likes of Paul Pogba, but he's still a really, really important player for us, and I'd hate to think people aren't still recognising what he does for us. So individually, across the pitch, I think we've played really well, and it's an absolute gutter. The game did sort of change from... I thought we had the momentum in the second half. I thought we were playing really well, and the red card was a bit of a blow. I wouldn't say it killed us, because we played brilliantly for another 20 minutes with 10 men, but Yedlin's had a bit of a stinker where he's just miscontrolled the ball. He's let the lad in, and he probably had to do it. He probably had to take him out, and there's maybe a slight argument that Lascelles was in line, and I don't know. We thought Mike Dean has probably got it right, but I'm yet to see any replays. So it was a harsh red when he saw... Well, we've seen a replay of the elbow to Perez, which happened later on, and the fact that the game was not stopped for basically an elbow to the dish. I mean, Mike... Mike Dean, who we were lauding minutes before for giving out like the sixth yellow card in a row to a Wolves player, he's missed a crucial one there, which led to a break for them. It's just been a weird game, where of all the ones this season, that's the one where I felt we really, really deserved something. We've had some narrow defeats this season where we haven't been at our best, but I thought that was a really, really good performance. Hard to take. So, Cowley, where do you think that leaves us in terms of going up to Christmas? We go to
Huddersfield next week.
Huddersfield next, and then we've got Fulham at home. So it would have been nice to keep a bit of a run going and not have another defeat. But we're going to those two games. Do you think if we can play like that, we'll get points?
Yeah, definitely. Two massive games coming up, really. I said earlier in the week after Everton, I said minimum 4 points from these games. And today I thought we'd get a point. And then even if we got a point today, I would fancy us to even potentially take 6 points from the next two games. I do fancy us against Huddersfield next week. Obviously, they're in a bit of a bad run of form and they're not really scoring goals as well. Obviously, we're not going too many either. So it'd be a tight game next week, but I do fancy us. So I think...
4-0, cracker.
Yeah. But I don't know how many points are we above. Are we 3 points above at the moment? I think we need to... I think we'll win one of these games, because I think the tough run comes after Christmas, January time, and obviously more games are around then. So if we play like that today, defensively, I think we've been good away from home, and I think we're better. We have been playing better away from home recently as well. So the formation, I think I do like the formation. It is working, especially against Burnley and Devon and today as well. So I do fancy us to taking at least one of these wins, so which obviously hopefully put a little bit of a gap between us for the running Christmas and New Year.
I just want to come out. I think you're spot on there with to talk about the five at the back, the tactics. I guess we've been a little bit surprised every time we've deployed it. I suppose not so much on Wednesday, because we knew we were going to be under a lot of pressure there, and it was probably better to try and sort of keep them out and go for the sort of the clean sheet. But I think today you're right. I probably would have expected us, especially at home, to try and take the game to them. But it actually allowed us to do that, because I think the fullback, so Richie, was getting a lot of space. I think Yedlin first half was getting opportunities to sort of provide the overlap, and I think it just gives us that compactness, so it allows us to be solid at the back, but also then utilise our wide players who like the bomb on. And I think it's become any sort of go-to sort of formation at the minute, I think, because it is allowing us, like today, to control the games. And I think although we're not necessarily dominating teams or anything like that, but we don't look under any sort of real threat. We had the second half against Everton on Wednesday, we literally limited them to no real opportunities. And then again today, you can only really count two or three chances that they've created all game. Obviously they scored two, which is unfortunate, but it's allowing us to be solid, and also then going sort of get forward and support the attack players, because we know that's where we sort of struggle, and we need to commit more men forward. And I think this formation allows the likes of Perez, it gives him a bit more support. They've always got the out balls out wide, and then those players, so the likes of Richie and Yedlin can whip balls into Rondon. So
I think as well,
it's working well.
If you mentioned Rondon there, if he keeps playing like he is, like I say, impressive on Evan. He put a shift and great goal as well. And today, obviously, he was I thought the best player, especially that first half, and he's so good at holding the ball up and bringing players into play. Sometimes it can be a bit isolated, but you never want to kind of complain with that. And I think if he continues out the way it is, his form, he'll score goals for us and we'll have great chances.
Yeah, I think that's exactly why this formation is working, Rondon. You're right. We've got pace on the wings. We've got Kennedy, Atu. We've got players who can break, because basically if you're playing five at the back, you're looking to play counter-attacking football. That's how you're going to score goals. And we've had a bit more of a cutting edge in the last few weeks. We're getting goals, and it's because we've got a striker who can make stuff happen. Even if all of our players are deep, it's having that player who can hold up the ball, link up the play, but then also get himself in the box. I mean, his work rate has been phenomenal, Rondon. And that's what we were missing the first 10 games of the season, when he just didn't look fit, he didn't look right. This is why you bring him in pre-season, lads. That's why it's working. We've got a solid defence, we've got three or four players who can play in that back three quite comfortably. We've got some options for wing-backs, and I think Richie almost looks more comfortable in that position than when he's just on the wing and not getting forward enough. And then Perez, who is a bit of a Marmite player for us at the minute, you can't question, he's got a finishing touch. He can score goals. Yes, he's a frustrating player to watch. He might lose the ball two or three times in quick succession, and the last thing he needs is the crowd getting on his back, because he showed it against Wolves today that he'll score a goal even in the face of adversity. And he's felt the need to put the fingers in the ears again, because you know he's had some substitutions that have been jeered, and it's just how our lads, we need to be better than that, because I think he's a crucial player for us. And yes, we'd all love to have a £20 million number 10 that's an improvement on him. Nobody's saying he's the best player for that position that we could hope for, but he tries really hard, and he's an important player because he can score goals, and he's been our top scorer for several years in a row.
And he's a confidence player as well. Fans getting on his back, it's just not going to help the cause really. And really glad he's got his goal today. Just because a couple of, like, for example, people at work just say how bad he is, and it's like, hey, look where he's come from and what he's done for us, and how good he was the second half, like in the last season. And he has scored important goals for us. And obviously, in the Watford, he scored that really good header today again. It's a really good header. So I thought in a good performance today.
Yeah, it's a shame that'll be quickly forgotten because we've lost the game, but it was a crucial goal at the time, and it was, as we've been saying, like our main thing has not been coming back into games, and we absolutely came back into this game and just didn't get anything for it. Some interesting news just coming off Twitter, Matthew Raisbeck. 145 games since Newcastle last had an opposition player sent off. I mean, that's another blatant one today, lads. A massive elbow to the face of Perez. Why do we get so unlucky? I can't understand. You never want to be. I mean, I'm sitting next to Ben Wade, so we'll get his opinion on the quality of refereeing shortly. But I always like to think what goes around comes around, and you know, bad refereeing performances equal themselves out. But that start there suggests otherwise. Ben, why are Newcastle so notoriously under supported by these referees?
Well, this gives us a great opportunity to bring up VAR, which I'm a big fan of.
Nah, I think it's a funny one, because I didn't think he had a particularly bad game today, but he's missed the fucking biggest decision of the game, and it's really, really frustrating. As you say, I don't know why, but we just never ever seem to get the luck we deserve. I mean, I think we were all sort of admitted probably was a red card. However, I've seen those. There was another player there, so you could easily argue that it shouldn't have been a red card. So we've been fucking done on that, and then to not get anything. I mean, it's a penalty and a red card. It's blatant. Like, the guy's just absolutely smashed Perez with an elbow. Like, how can you just? And he's looking right at it as well. How you can justify not giving that? Like, they need to fucking come on and explain these decisions, because it's absolute bullshit. And it does feel like there is a hidden agenda there, because we never seem to get these big decisions. It's not the first time it's happened to me this season.
Well, I don't know if he's come out and said it, but he said to Perez the reason why you thought the ball hit his face, not an elbow. And it's like, if you look at where Mike Dean is as well, right in front of him, how can he not see that?
Yeah.
Hit him in the face, like, how the fuck does the ball clear out if it's hit him? The kid's jumping for a header to try and fucking score. Like, the ball hits him in the face, it's not going to fucking ricochet out.
If the ball's hit you in the face hard enough that it's a head injury, he still has to stop the game. Like, the fact that he basically played some sort of mental advantage, and Wolves won the break and could have scored.
Hit the bar, didn't
they? Smashed the crossbar, and it's like Perez is still on the ground holding his face. Like, the whole thing was mental. And yeah, Ben, we were quite pleased with Mike Dean. He seemed to be controlling the game. He wasn't letting them take the piss. He was giving them yellow cards. It's just bizarre. And yeah, it's getting really frustrating. I mean, before the Cardiff game, we hadn't had a pen for like, I mean, there's no point in getting a pen if we're going to take them like that. But you know, we've had a really bad few years in terms of refereeing, and I don't know what it is, but it's just another source of frustration when there's so many other things to be worried about in Newcastle. We need a break for stuff like that. Quick one on the crowd then. That's another thing. Today was meant to be the day of the big protest boycott. I mean, some of the lads weren't there today because they'd made plans with their wags. But the crowd was pretty full, in pretty full voice. I mean, we're in Block V. Everyone was singing all game, as they always do. But it didn't seem like the crowd was particularly bad across the stadium. A couple of old wankers must have been booing at the end, but not really. enough to make any more of it than that. So I thought it was a good occasion for our fans, given that there's a lot of takeover talk at the minute, and we're all kind of now just waiting to see if this goes somewhere, because we're sat on 13 points coming up to Christmas. Realistically, we do need to get 4 or 5 more points in before the new year, just to keep our heads above water. And while this stuff bumbles on right into January, it's going to be a massive distraction. So if there is any truth in the fact that this could be ramping up quite quickly, then it just needs to happen. And it's a funny situation. I mean, sitting here right now, lads, how likely do you think it is that Newcastle United have got a new owner by the end of the year?
I'm confident. I think it's looking more positive than from what we've sort of been hearing. There is interest there, and there is there's work being done on the deal, and everything we're hearing is really positive. I think you're right. I don't realistically think it'll get done before January. I think the talk of Ashley coming out saying he hopes for it to be done by January, I don't see how they're going to unpick the fucking damage and absolute sort of minefield that he's created through his asset stripping of the club. I don't understand how that would all get sorted out before January, but I think big picture, it's irrelevant. Like that isn't the most important thing here. I think just get the deal done before the end of the season so we can tie Rafa up, and then we'll have a go next season. We're not going to get, I don't think we'll get relegated. I mean, I know I've been sort of my views up to this point have been that we probably are in a relegation battle up until the end, but I've started to see enough out of other teams being sort of weaker than us, and we're putting in some good performances, so I think we should be safe. And I think we were talking about walking out the ground there. I think this season is just going to be a complete write-off. So I think I'm still probably more hope than anything else, but I'm just desperate for it to go through and work out. And there's a lot of people sort of saying, oh, a case of like, do we need to be careful who we get in? Like, I don't really care, just fucking get anybody in. Anybody will be better than
There can't be many people still saying that old, be careful what you wish for, when Mike Ashley's the owner of the football club. It's absolutely that. The sooner the better, for so many reasons, because this last few months as a Newcastle fan has been so draining. I mean, it was nice to see that people were finally kind of galvanising behind some protests, but all the shit that comes with that, all the disagreements, all the infighting, all the Twitter spats, all the just draining shit that goes on week and week because the club's in such turmoil. And now that there's potentially takeover talk again, and some people believe it, some people don't, it's become unbearable. You want to switch off the whole thing. Imagine, it just needs to happen, and the sooner the better.
I mean, imagine Twitter if like a new owner comes in terms of and actually like invest in this, and like how many, like we're so like divided at the moment, especially like for example after that West Ham game, the things that we're saying and all the protests at the game, everyone's just arguing against each other. Not like I say, we shouldn't be divided against each other, we should be obviously united. And just imagine, just it's going to be completely different. Hopefully, obviously, a new owner comes in and invests. And I'm like, what I say, I'm a positive about it happening. I'm more positive than what I have been in terms of the talks that's happened a couple of times now, but you just never know, do you? How long it is going to take to get it over the line.
There's positive noises from a number of sources, so it's impossible not to get carried away with it. I mean, lots of people seem to think it's happening, but nobody really knows. Nobody really knows what's going through Ashley's mind. He could just decide to fuck it up whenever he wants. He can decide to make the deal so ridiculous that even if there is some genuine interest there from money, they couldn't touch it because of the way he does his business. So there's still plenty of things that could go wrong, but we as a football club, as a set of fans, as a city, we need it to happen either now, or we need to know sooner rather than later that it's not happening, so people can kind of get their ass in again, decide what we do next.
It's got to happen this season. If it does, if it's not sold by the end of the season, I think a hell of a lot more needs to be done. I mean, regarding the boycott, we'll just quickly touch on that. I think it was the right decision to postpone it, just because I think we need to see if this goes through or not. If it doesn't, then 100% we'll need to take action. We'll need to start ramping things up and getting more. And I think if this breaks down, I would hope that more people would get involved with them and support them a bit more, because we talked about it the other week, that the walk-in wasn't that followed as well as it should have been. Like, I don't understand why people aren't getting back in these when that then, but when you then get the reaction that you had at West Ham after the game where the stadium had emptied with 10 minutes to go and like people clearly aren't happy, so why the fuck would you not try and take some action and do something to try and make a positive change? I don't really get it, but I think it was the right thing to do, to wait and see if there's anything comes of this, because obviously we've heard it's potentially going to be a distraction and a detractor for some of the bids if there is a lot of things going on. So I think it was the right call to make, but it shouldn't be forgotten. I think if we need to ramp it back up if this doesn't go through, but yeah, it was probably the right call to postpone it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if there was any potential buyers taking in that game today, bouncing St James's Park, up backs against the wall, fighting for their lives against with 10 men, the crowd were there with them to the end, I would say. There's nothing not to want to get involved in this football club for me, with that manager, with those players, with a little bit of investment, it could be something really special. And I like to think people are seeing that, and I thought it was a very positive kind of united front put on by the fans and the team today, and that's not enough to convince people. I don't know what ever will be.
I think just one point on that as well, it's like, you think this is a fan base that's been starved of any sort of real quality in terms of sort of money spent on the club and everything that's going on, and like for us to still be there in the droves that we are and still be supportive of the team and fighting with the team and all that, like that's got to attract somebody. Like, somebody's got to be thinking, fucking hell, like they're still with them at this point. Like that's a pretty a pretty sort of good support there. So you just hope that this sort of has an impact and people see the potential. And there's a lot of things being said about the potential, but the fan base more than anything, I think, is got to be the thing that'll sell this. And the support that they're showing at the minute, I think we just need to keep it up, because that is going to be one of the big selling points and one of the big things that I think somebody's going to get interested in and invest in. I mean, we know, having spoken with some of the journalists about sort of the Staveley deal that fell through last time, but they were really, really interested in the prospect of sort of you galvanising this fan base, and that's the biggest asset that this club has, is that there is a big following. There's 50,000 people that'll turn up every week, so the more positive we can stay and sort of support of the team, it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, imagine the atmosphere in the city if this does happen. Like, people will die over Christmas from the party. People will die. It'll be that mental. We just need it as a city. It's been too gloomy for too long on the football front. I mean, we've had some brilliant moments over the last 10 years, but the majority of it's been absolutely piss poor, depressing. And yet we're all still there waiting for that day when it all turns around, and it really does feel like it could be around the corner. And how can you not get excited about that?
Well, just on this week as well, I'm just kind of often not on the same subject, but like, we've bounced back well after West Ham. Two impressive, like, good displays really, and we have been a bit unlucky. Well, we have been lucky today. There should have been a red card and a penalty for us, and a little thing like that this season has kind of gone against us really. If you look at, like, I don't know, Cardiff probably got a penalty, should have scored. Man U, we should have got a penalty. I could have made it 3-0. So little things.
And yet we're still in a healthy position, aren't we? Yeah. This is a football club that, even despite all the shit that's been going on, we're still not bad. We're still not that bad. It would just take something to push us on and kick us on. I think that's a really good way to end it, lads. Thanks again to our patrons who help keep this going. And if you don't know what that is, there'll be a link in the description. But basically, we'll put out 3 or 4 extra shows a week, loads of extra content, especially at the minute with all the takeover stuff and all the other shit that's been going on. Some really good stuff by a great group of people. Thanks also to FansBet, a new betting site that lets you choose a cause to which any percentage of any money lost, so any overall bets that didn't win, go towards. Again, that helps us do more stuff, it helps us put more content together, so we really appreciate everyone who's taking the time to sign up to that and use us as their outlet. We'll be back in the week, hopefully doing loads of patter about our new owners and partying for 7 days solid. Thank you very much. Cheers, lads.